Psalm 32. If you've got it out loud, say, I've got it. All right. Psalm 32, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Let's pray. God, thank you for this psalm that you forgive us, God. And we look forward to what we're going to learn from your word today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. I pray that your spirit would do such an amazing work in us, Lord, that we leave different people because of who you are. Thank you, God. In your good name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, the movie for today, we're finishing up our God on Film series. The movie for today is G.I. Joe. All right, here we go. How many hands up? How many of you saw G.I. Joe? All right, the rest of you, you can go. No, just kidding. No, we're going to... How many of you plan to see G.I. Joe? Because there's a lot of I don't want to ruin it for you. Okay, I need to be careful what I say. So we'll do... There's a few twists in this movie. I'll try not to punish you. But I watched G.I. Joe Friday night with some people from church, and it was a good movie. It was the first time I actually liked one of the movies this summer, so it was good. But one of the underlying stories is a guy named Duke, who's our main character, and his girlfriend, ex-fiance, named Anna the Baroness, who becomes the head of the evil empire. And Anna is very upset at her ex-fiance, Hero Duke, because years ago, when they were engaged, she told her fiance, Duke, to take care of her brother when they were out on some military adventure. Duke promised to do this. But in the midst of the battle, he failed, and Anna's brother was killed. And Anna holds a grudge. We don't know exactly how, but she becomes more and more bitter and becomes the leader of this evil army. Resentment does wonders, doesn't it? Especially among those who are in love, wouldn't you say? I read this story of a man and a woman who had been married for 25 years. This couple would get into arguments all the time. But what would happen is the man would blow up, but the woman, the wife, would always remain calm, even after a really bad fight. And so on their 25th anniversary, the husband said, you know, sweetie, I love you. We do get into fights. I notice I'm always the one getting angry, and you totally remain calm. How do you do it? He said, well, after an argument, I usually go clean the toilets. So he's like, I mean, that's great, but how does that help you? So, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, I use your toothbrush. Resentment does wonders, wouldn't you say? So now, what's interesting here is that there's all kinds of forgiveness we need. We often need forgiveness from God. We need forgiveness from each other. But perhaps the thing that's hardest for many of us is learning how to forgive ourselves. Learning how to forgive ourselves. Duke, the main character, lives in guilt over losing his fiance's brother. He's struggling with that. In fact, when he lost the brother in the battle, he got some gashes to his face from the explosion, and the movie shows that he has those scars on him still. And I think it's a symbolic thing of what guilt and lack of forgiving yourself does to you. It keeps scars. And it's one of the hardest things to do. Now, I want to say that in its best form, guilt can be a good thing. This is what I mean. Guilt tells you when you've done something wrong. Guilt tells you when you should have done something and you didn't. And so, in its best, God can use guilt to show you where you've blown it, where you've messed up. The problem is, unresolved guilt is not good because it sticks with you, it isolates you, it becomes like a heavy burden. And God does not want you to have unresolved guilt. He wants you to have healthy guilt that brings you to change and forgiveness. But if you never experience that forgiveness from God or from yourself, it will always feel like a heavy weight. And so what we're going to talk about today is the power of forgiving yourself. The power of forgiving yourself. But let me first say that when you have unresolved guilt, it will affect, and if you're taking notes, this is in your outlines, unresolved guilt will affect your relationships. Unresolved guilt will affect your relationships. And I know I'm not the only one, but when you have done something wrong and you feel terribly guilty about it, the first thing you want to do is hide from people. You don't want them to know. You don't want to brag about it. And so when you've done something and you're carrying guilt, one of the results is that you are no longer to relate to people the way God wants to relate to them, because you're always hiding or ashamed of something you've done. And it affects your ability to get close to someone, because they'll never know all of you. It affects your ability to feel free in front of somebody, because what if they find out everything? It affects your relationships. In the movie, Duke broke off his relationship with his fiance because he was so guilty over what he did that he couldn't even be close to his fiance anymore. Guilt really affects us. How many of you have done something that you've been terribly ashamed of and have seen how it affects how close you are to people? You want to hide. When Adam and Eve first sinned, the first thing they did was they tried to hide from God. Because when we've messed up and we have guilt, it carries us into hiding. The second result is that unresolved guilt will also affect your time and how you spend your time. When we have guilt over something we've done, when we're not able to forgive ourselves, we have to escape somehow to deal with that pain. And people will do various things to escape. For some, it's drugs and alcohol. For others, it's workaholism. They'll just work as hard as they can. Whatever you do to try to hide and work through your guilt, you'll try to do. And so you end up wasting lots of time trying to deal with pain that God doesn't want you to have. Unresolved guilt affects your time and how you spend it. And God doesn't want that for you. A Duke, the main character, is an amazing army military guy. But you kind of wonder behind it all, is he so driven because he's so guilty? Is it his guilt that keeps him working so hard? And God doesn't want that for you as well. He wants you to be free. He wants you to do that. So here's my question for you. What are you feeling guilty about right now? What have you done that you're feeling deep shame about right now? Because I want to talk about that today. We want to talk about what it means to allow God into that pain. Now, God's solution to guilt is a thing called forgiveness. Forgiveness. And so what I want to talk about is, what does it mean for God to forgive you? What does it mean for God to forgive you? And the psalm we read when we started out from Psalm 32 says some amazing things of what it means for God to forgive you. So I want to give you a preview of what you can experience in your relationship with God. Number one is this: God puts your sin out of sight. God puts your sin out of sight. I love how the Bible says in Psalm 32, it says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put what? Out of sight." Circle those words, "out of sight." That God puts your sin out of sight when he forgives you. Other Bibles say that your sin is covered. It's like he covers it up and no longer sees it. God, when he forgives you, plays a really bad game of hide and seek, because he hides your sin, but then he never seeks it. Or I have little kids. A year ago, I don't do this anymore, but our kids would hide things in the house and ask me to find them as a game. So I'd look all over the house and try to find whatever they hid, and I couldn't find it. So I go, "So where'd you guys put it?" Well, the memory of a two-year-old isn't very good. They go, "I can't remember where I hid your wallet, Daddy." Well, God does that, but intentionally. He hides it, but then he forgets about it. It's out of sight. It's covered up. And that's, can you imagine God doing that with the guilt you feel right now? That he hides it and he covers it up and it's out of his sight. The second thing is, God holds nothing against you when he forgives you. He holds nothing against you. This is so hard to believe when you carry guilt against yourself. But Psalm 3:2 says, "Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them." He doesn't count your sin against you if he forgives you. Now, I want to help you understand a biblical concept of how God talks about forgiving sin. Because he doesn't just ignore your sin, he does something with it. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, all your guilt, everything bad you've ever done, everything you should have done but didn't, and the guilt you carry from that, went on to Jesus when he was on the cross. Your sins and my sins is what nailed Jesus to the cross. He took it all on him. But then God doesn't stop there. God took Jesus' innocence and his righteousness and his holiness and his goodness, and he put it on to you if you give your life to Jesus. God does a trade. He takes your guilt, what you did wrong, put it onto Jesus, and takes Jesus' innocence and puts it onto you. And when he sees you, if you were a follower of Jesus, he sees the innocence. He sees the righteousness. You are holy in his eyes because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Get this, back in the Old Testament, people, even though they didn't know Jesus, were able to receive this gift of Jesus because of their hope. The book of Job says that when Job would wake up every morning, he would pray for his kids every morning and for their forgiveness. He just had this thing on his mind that he needed forgiveness, and he would pray for that regularly. So that when Satan comes to God and says, you know, they're having a conversation, this is what God says about Job. He says, and I'm looking forward to my life, he says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Now we know from Job's life that he wasn't blameless. He did some things himself, but God saw him through the eyes of Jesus. Oh, is she okay? That's okay. Baby's falling off tears, or we're stopping for. But God sees you through Jesus' eyes. And so someone like Job, he can look at and say, this guy is blameless. That's what it means for God to forgive you. So what you're feeling guilt about, the mistakes you made, I want you to know that what God wants for you is to do an exchange with you. He says, I will take your guilt if you take my son's innocence. I will block it out and not see it, and I will count nothing against you. Now, can you imagine living 100% guilt-free? 100%? What would that be like? To know that God sees you and loves you and sees you as holy and holds nothing against you. And yet that's the promise God gives us in the Bible. There are two benefits that this psalm talks about when you are forgiven. Two results. The first is joy and living in complete honesty. When you experience God's forgiveness 100%, you feel two things. Complete joy and the ability to live in complete honesty. Have any of you guys ever had an experience where you're carrying something that you're feeling so guilty about, and you find that safe friend where you can tell all to and say, this is where I blew it. This is where I made my mistake. And that person hears it and forgives you and prays with you. Have you guys had that experience before? Because if you have not, it is the most freeing thing ever. Joy. And complete honesty. It's like, I've been hiding this thing for years, or I've been hiding this thing for weeks, and finally I don't have to hide anymore. I am free. I am transparent. Someone knows me and loves me. God knows me and loves me. And that's the joy you feel when you can live in complete honesty. When you live in unforgiveness, it's like a weight. You know, whenever we buy those big helium balloons, and you buy a weight to put on to keep them on the ground, I always feel a bit sad because I think those balloons are made to fly. I just want them to go. And yet that's kind of how we are. God created us to fly, to live in joy, to live in freedom. And yet unforgiveness is like that big weight holding us down, preventing us from a life of transparency, honesty, joy, forgiveness, intimacy. And God wants to cut that weight off, so you can fly. So we're going to talk about how to do that. A popular writer once said, and she wasn't even a Christian, she said, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. But we have someone who wants to forgive us. So I want to talk about, how do you forgive yourself? How do you accept God's forgiveness and forgive yourself? So we're going to talk about what this psalm says about that. And number one is this. Confess your sin to God and another person. Confess your sin to God and another person. In other words, you weren't meant to deal with guilt on your own. You need help. You need help from God, and you need help from somebody else. The killer with guilt, the thing that will keep you guilty forever, is silence. Is not talking about it. That's the killer. And yet Psalm 32:3 says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." It's silence. Jesus tells a story of a Pharisee who was a religious leader, and a tax collector, a man who was looked down upon in society. The Pharisee came to God and said, "God, thank you that I'm not like this tax collector over here. I give money to you. I obey the commandments. I am good in your eyes." And the tax collector comes by and says, "God," he can't even look up into heaven at God. He says, "God, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me." And Jesus tells the story. He says, "I want to tell you the truth. It's the tax collector that's going to get forgiven, not this other man." Because this tax collector knew how to say, "I blew it. I've messed up. God, have mercy on me." And that's what we need to do, is look to God and begin to be specific with Him. And we don't, when we talk to God of our sin, we don't pray in vague areas. We'll say, "You know, God, I really blew it yesterday." No, that's too vague. You want to be specific. "God, this is what I did. This is when I did it. And I am so sorry." That's how it starts. It's a conversation with God. Don't keep silent, but you talk to God. Proverbs 28:13 says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." It's all about confession. Now, I know in the Catholic Church, you're supposed to confess to a priest. Now, that's not a bad thing if you want to confess to a priest, but the Bible says you can confess to any brother or sister in Christ. So you want to find somebody that you trust, who follows Jesus, who knows how to hear the ways you messed up. And you can sit down and say, "I need to tell you something. I've talked to God already, but now I want to talk to you. I need to confess to you what I did wrong because I need forgiveness." So you want to confess to God and to people. And if I can say, honestly, the hardest thing is of those two things is confessing to people. The hardest thing is talking to somebody else about the ways you blew it. And yet that is where God's going to give you the most freedom. Because you need someone who can show you what God is like, who can hear you and still say, "I care about you and I love you." James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other, so that you may be healed." When you talk to somebody else, when you have that one-on-one, say, "This is how I blew it," and you confess, and they hear you, you will experience a freedom from God you would not believe. Because for the first time, you're going to experience being fully known. Someone knows everything about me, and fully loved. Fully known and fully loved. Because most of us carry a lie that says, "I can only be loved if people only know certain things about me. But if they knew everything about me, then I couldn't be loved." And so we need that other person that we talk to. We can say, "This is who I am for real." For them to know all of you and to experience that being fully loved while you're fully known. Not needing to hide anymore, but you can be transparent and experience that. So that's how it is. So I want to encourage you that the first step to forgiving yourself is to being open with God and with another person. The second is this: make amends. Make amends. Make corrections. In most cases, if you've really blown it, your sin, the way you've blown it, has affected somebody else. Perhaps a spouse, a child, a neighbor, a friend, a relative. But our sin affects other people. And God wants you to, as much as you can, make up for that. When Jesus was preaching, a short man named Zacchaeus, also a tax collector, went to go see Jesus. And he had to climb up a tree to see him because he was really short. Jesus stopped, looked at the tree, and said, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house today." Zacchaeus is excited. He realizes that even though I've blown it, Jesus still wants to be with me. So he invites Jesus to his house. And he tells Jesus this. This is in your outline. He says, is it in your outline? You can tell me. Yes, Zacchaeus said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. because Zacchaeus would be stealing from people. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So Zacchaeus says, I know I've sinned. I know I've sinned because I've been cheating people out of money. So I'm going to pay back whoever I cheat. In fact, I'll pay back four times over. I was going to do this illustration here in church, but it might be too controversial, so I'll just tell you about it. But to prove this point, a man, he was sharing about this, and he asked someone for a dollar bill. And so someone came up and gave him a dollar bill, and in front of everybody, he ripped the dollar bill in half. Now, it's illegal to do that, so I didn't want to ruin all you guys and do that in front of you, but he ripped the dollar bill in half. And the guy was like, hey, you just ripped my dollar bill in half. And so then the speaker said, here, have a dollar back. And he pulled out his wallet and gave another dollar. He said, you know, that works. The guy's probably okay. I mean, he didn't lose any money, but there's still a grudge. But if I said instead give him a dollar back, if I gave him $20 back, that really would have made up for it. It's not just giving back, but it's making up for how you've blown it. It's making amends. And that's what Zacchaeus said. He's like, I cheated people. I can pay them back. But really, I've really wronged them. I need to go over and above. And so he thought, I'll pay him four times back because I want to make it all right. I want to make amends. And so that's what God wants you to do, is to make amends with the people you've hurt. Because when we sin, often it's things like we've spoken badly about someone behind their back. We've gossiped. We've been dishonest with people. Maybe we've stolen. We've hurt somebody. You need to think through the ways I've blown it. How did it affect the people around me? And what can I do to my best of ability to make amends and say I'm sorry? But that's part of receiving forgiveness. And the third is this. Receive God's forgiveness. Receive God's forgiveness. This, I think, is one of the hardest things for some of us. Because God can forgive us. We can talk to the people we've wronged and have them forgive us. But sometimes the most critical person is yourself. And the ability to forgive yourself is often the hardest thing. But God wants you to receive His forgiveness. When Jesus was here on earth, a woman was brought to Him who was caught in adultery. In other words, men walked in on her and someone else cheating. Now there's something twisted about the story because they didn't bring the man out. They only brought the woman out. The man got away. But they bring this woman. Jesus talks to the people. They all leave. And as this woman is sitting at Jesus' feet, He says this. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. He's saying, look, no one is condemning you anymore. Do you see that? Okay, you're free. Go. Don't criticize yourself anymore. You've been forgiven. Live a life. Don't sin anymore, but don't carry that weight on you anymore. You're good to go. There's a story of two little kids, Johnny and Sarah, who are on a trip visiting their grandparents. And once Johnny arrived, their grandparents gave Johnny a brand new slingshot. And Johnny was really excited. He went outside, put pebbles in, but apparently Johnny had awful aim. He could never get his target, no matter how hard he tried. So he was a little embarrassed about using it. So when no one was looking, he would practice. And so no one was looking, and he sees his grandma's duck running across the field. And so he takes good aim, and he shoots. And to his surprise, it was a great shot. Hit the duck right in the head, killed grandma's duck. Johnny's feeling extremely guilty. He's like, what am I going to do? So, like most people, he decides to hide. He hides the duck. He puts the duck in a pile of wood, covers it up, and thinks, no one will notice. I'm going to hide my guilt, which is what we do. We hide our guilt. Well, after he hides this duck, he turns around, and his little sister Sarah is behind him. She saw the whole thing. She doesn't say anything. But later on that day, they're going in, and Grandma says to Sarah, hey, Sarah, can you help me with the dishes? And Sarah says, I would love to, but Johnny told me earlier that he would love to help you, Grandma, with the dishes. Johnny looks at her, and Sarah says, remember the duck. Next day, Johnny's grandpa says, hey, kids, you want to go out hunting with me? And Johnny says, sure. And Sarah says, sure. But grandma says, no, Sarah, I wanted you to stay back. I need your help around the house. And Sarah said, actually, Johnny told me that he'd be willing to stay back and help you with the house, grandma. Johnny looks over at Sarah. Remember the duck. Well, this whole trip, Johnny ends up doing his chores and Sarah's chores. Because the whole time, all she has to say is, remember the duck. Well, eventually, Johnny can't handle anymore. He musters up his courage. He walks over to his grandma, and he says, "Grandma, last week I took the slim shock. I shot for the duck. I didn't mean to. It hit the duck's head. The duck is dead, and I buried it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And Grandma says, "You know, Johnny, I actually saw what happened through the window. And because I love you, I forgave you right away. I was just wondering how long you're going to let Sarah make a slave out of you." But I wonder how many of us live that way, that God has forgiven us, but we still hear Satan saying, "Remember the duck. Remember the duck." And God's saying, "I already saw it. You asked me forgiveness, I forgave you. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to be a slave to Satan saying, 'Remember the duck.' You're free. I forgive you. I forgive you." Some of you need to hear from God that He's forgiven you and you're free from the duck. That's Satan's tools. That's the evil one's tool to keep you down, to keep you, the helium balloon that needs to fly, keep you down and weigh you down. And God is saying, "That weight's not there anymore. Live freely. Forgive yourself. Don't rob yourself of the experience of knowing that you are fully loved, fully forgiven by me." And this is God's promise, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and all our unrighteousness and purify us so that when He sees you, you are no longer guilty, but you have Jesus' righteousness on you and He sees you that way. But what you need to do is to confess to God, confess to somebody else, another believer who you trust, and say, "This is me. This is what I did." And then receive God's forgiveness. Know that He's forgiven you and you are clean and you can live in that freedom. This is such an important thing. Here's what I want you to do. In your outline, there's two words, who and when. You need to be free of your sin. And so what I want you to do in that area is after you confess to God, I want you to write down, who are you going to confess to? Who are you going to open up with about what you need forgiveness about? And you can write their names in that spot right there. Who are you going to do that with? You need to find someone. This is not an option for us if you're following Jesus. You need to do it. It's for your freedom. And the next question is when? When are you going to talk to this person? Write down the date. Write down the day. When are you going to call this person? When are you going to get together? But I don't want us to leave today thinking, "Hey, that's a good idea, God. I should think about that." No, we need to live on it, right? It's those who hear the word and do it that are blessed. So who are you going to confess to, and when are you going to do it? And make it soon. Don't put 2020. It should probably be within the week, all right? Because God wants you to live in freedom. There's a gift that He has for us in that kind of freedom, and so many of us don't experience it because we've not learned to confess and be honest with somebody. So let me pray for us. Bow your heads. There are some of you here who just need to know that you're forgiven by God, that you've been carrying guilt. There's something you've done maybe recently or years ago that has been a secret, that you need God's forgiveness from. You need to be transparent and honest. You need to experience that freedom. And your decision today is, you know what? I'm going to take this step. I'm going to confess this to God. I'm going to confess it to someone else and ask for forgiveness. And if that's you, if you know you're going to take this step, you're going to say, "Yeah, God, I'm going to take you at your word and do this. I want to pray for you." So if you would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you to know that you're going to take this step? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. More people. Great. Others, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, great. Other people who know they need to take this step and want prayer. Okay, let me pray for you right now. God, there are some people here who need to experience the freedom you have for us, the forgiveness you have for us. I want us to pray for them, Lord. They're going to take a bold step this week. They're actually going to get real with you and get real with somebody else and be honest. And Lord, it takes so much courage. It's going to be the scariest thing. But I know for a fact the reward on the other end for them. So I pray right now, God, you would protect them, that you would give them the courage they need to go through with their commitment right now. And Lord, I pray that we'd get to hear stories on the other end of the joy they receive from you in being totally transparent and real. God, we pray this would be the beginning for them of a transparent life in your freedom. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I do want to say there's some of you here too that have not yet given your whole life to be forgiven yet. You might be visiting Edgewater, but you know that you've not yet said, Jesus, you're Lord of all my life. You're King of all my life. You're the new boss. And you're thinking, not only do I want to confess my specific sin, but I just need to confess my life. I need forgiveness from God. And I want to start a new life. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you right now. And I just would love if you would just raise your hand and let me know. Is there anyone here that wants to give their life to Jesus so I can pray for you right now? Anyone? Thank you. Over there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Yes, Nicole, that's great. Anyone else? People who want to just give their lives to Jesus right now and say, I need your forgiveness, God. Great. Well, let me just pray for you guys right now. Let's pray. God, thank you for these two who want to give their lives to you and ask for your forgiveness and have you leader of their lives, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, as they begin their new life. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a round of applause.